We're really glad to have you with us today. And of course, today is September the 11th, 2011. But 2001, 9/11/01, is stamped on our generation's collective memory. If you were at least 10 years old back in 01, you remember exactly where you were and what you were doing when you heard the news. And 91% of Americans prayed that day. And by the way, church attendance is still up in New York City. 9/11, of course, did not introduce us to tragedy, but it elevated it in terms of it was such a publicly observable catastrophe. And our country, our nation was traumatized. We had a variety of emotional responses, not the least of which was apprehension. I think of the mom who was holding her child and who said, "I'm holding my baby and I'm wondering what kind of future is out there for my child." Dan Rather was the anchorman for CBS Evening News back in 01. And on September 11, he cried on national TV delivering the news. And one TV critic said later, "How could he not? We all were." But in the midst of it all, most of us turned to God. We leaned on our faith. We turned to Jesus. We leaned on each other. Our church gathered spontaneously, quickly, for prayer and worship. And I'll never forget our Wednesday night service the day after, our Sunday services thereafter, and how that we gathered with other believers from Fort Bend County over here in Mercer Stadium for a collective time of prayer. And today, 10 years later, as we should, we will remember. And this morning, what we'll do in our service, we're going to give honor to whom honor is due. We're going to again lean on our faith, worship our great God who reigns throughout eternity. And we're going to give you an opportunity to process this 9/11 mile marker, this anniversary, from a spiritual perspective. And of course, this morning, we'll certainly spend some time in prayer. I'd like to ask you to do that right now. Why don't you take a moment, bow your heads. I'm going to give you just a second here just to pray quietly right where you are before I lead us. Almighty and compassionate God, and again, we ask you to have mercy upon us and to heal us in all of our places of brokenness and need. You are righteous and good in all that you do. You can even bring forth good and beauty from ashes. And in humility, we seek you. We seek your kindness, your wisdom, your favor. Lord, we ask that you turn your face toward us and have mercy upon us. We run to you in repentance. We run to you with our fears, with our tears, with our needs, with our pride. And we ask you to break our pride, and we ask that you draw close to us even as we seek you. And God, you know our needs better than we can even state them now. But in your wisdom, would you grant us those things from your kind hand that will lead us forward collectively and individually into wholeness and peace and love. Blessed is your name, O God. Blessed is all that you do. There are things that you do that we understand. There are things of your nature that are a great mystery, but we trust you. And blessed be your name. Through Christ do we pray. Amen. Jesus once said, "Greater love has no man than this, than he will lay down one's life for his friends." Another translation says that he will lay down his life for another person. Let me put a photo up here again. This is a photo of a young man by the name of Wells Crowther. Wells Crowther was 2 years removed from Boston College. He worked in the South Tower of the World Trade Center on the 104th floor as an equities trader. As a teenager, he was a volunteer fireman. He was the oldest of three children. He had been an honor roll student at Boston College. He played lacrosse. He earned a BA degree in economics. And as I said, 2 years out of college. And that young man is credited with saving 18 lives, at least 18 lives, 10 years ago today. One of the people that he helped to escape, her name is Ling Young, and she keeps a framed photo of Wells Crowther in her home. He exited and re-entered the South Tower at least three times, helping to evacuate trapped victims. And he ultimately perished there. Greater love has no man than this, than he's willing to sacrifice and lay down his very life for another. Jesus did that on a far grander scale. But in thinking of sacrifices that we would see in a lifetime, Jesus says, I want that picture of sacrifice to describe for you what I've done for you, and I've made your eternal salvation possible. And Jesus, by his sacrifice, has purchased for you and me eternal redemption. Jesus gave himself so that all kinds of people from every tribe and nation may come to him. And Jesus did not send a committee. He gave himself. And that is the glory of the gospel of God, that God purchased the right to claim you as his own with the sacrifice of his son, Jesus. The Bible says this in Colossians chapter 1. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in Jesus, and through Jesus to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. A lot of folks say that 9/11 changed the world. It certainly did. It had an influence. It certainly affected our world today. But there was another day that really changed the world. And it was the day when Jesus set things right and reconciled things above and below and made peace with God possible. And there is a day that can really, where your world can be changed. And it's the day when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And for those in this room who've already done that, in just a moment, we're going to take communion together. And we remember the body of Jesus. And we remember the blood of Jesus. And as the Bible says, it is by his stripes that we are healed. And it is through the shedding of his blood that we receive cleansing and the forgiveness of our sins. I'm going to ask that you just stand right where you are, and we're going to sing a wonderful song of worship and praise to Jesus, and then we'll take communion together. Please stand.
September 11th, 2001, I was in New York City, and the first memory of that day was how beautiful it was. The sky was a bright blue, the sun was shining very bright, and there was a slight chill in the air. And as soon as I got back to my hotel room and turned on the TV around 9 o'clock and knew that there had been one plane hit a tower, and as I was watching the news coverage of that, saw the second plane hit a tower and knew we had a problem. So I walked down to the end of the street to Avenue of the Americas and could see the smoke coming out of the towers, the fire coming out, could hear the first responders going to the scene. Of course, later that day, the towers collapsed and the whole area was just filled with dust and ash in the air. It was an amazing sight. I spent the rest of the week trying to get out of the city, trying to get back to Houston, and came up with the idea to go to Penn Station and get to Philadelphia and try to catch a flight. Everyone else had the same idea I did, and of course Penn Station was a zoo. And while I was in there trying to get my ticket, about 20 firemen came in. They had been working there They were somewhere from upstate New York. They had their axe or saws, whatever tools they could bring with them. And everyone in Penn Station, thousands of people, stopped what they were doing and gave these gentlemen a standing ovation for a good 3 to 4 minutes. At that point, I knew our country could come together, but also knew that our lives had changed forever.
You know, many people take for granted the freedoms that we enjoy here in the United States. For me, it's a little different. Having spent the first 14 years of my life under a communist dictatorship, I have an enhanced appreciation for the freedoms that we enjoy, you know? And when I reflect about these things, I know that these freedoms came at a price. Many in the past have sacrificed greatly for the freedoms that we all enjoy.
We have a picture that hangs in our home of the American flag, along with an inscription of Psalm 33:12, which reads, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." It's been really important for Tim and I to teach our kids the many ways that God has blessed our country. But really more than that, we've tried to teach them that as Americans, we all have a responsibility to try to help our country be a blessing to God.
These types of things bring us back memories. And of course, that's what you're hoping for, a better world, a better place to live in, a better place to bring your kids and grandkids up in. But as the song says, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ.
You know, there's been a lot said about September the 11th already, and there will be much said for the rest of our lives and future generations. We as Americans have been so blessed, and God commands us to pass our blessings on, and by passing our blessings on, we can give hope to the next generation.
I feel blessed to live in a country where, regardless of your gender, color of skin, or the ability to pay, education is available to everyone.
Many words have been written since the terrorists attacked our country on September the 11th. As the soot and dirt and ash rained down, we became one color. As we carried each other down the stairs of the burning building, we became one class. As we lit candles of waiting and hope, we became one generation. As the firefighters and the police officers fought their way into the inferno, we became one gender. As we fell to our knees in prayer for strength, we became one faith. As we cried tears of grief and loss, we became one soul. As we retell with pride of the sacrifice of heroes, we become one people. We are united. We are America.
Indeed, blessed be the name of the Lord. And I'm so thankful that you were here and with us today. Walter Caskey, where are you? Are the Caskeys in here? We're Walter and Joyce. Could you be making your way down here? Could you get out of there and be making your way down here to the front? Like now? Okay. To those of you, this is your first time here. Welcome. We're really glad to have you with us today here at the First Colony Church of Christ. And if this is your first time here, please stop by. There's a booth out here in the lobby called our Guest Central booth. We've got a free gift for you out there. Just our way of saying thank you for being a first-time guest here. And I'd like to invite you right now to come back and be with us next Sunday. And to all of our service men and women, to all of our firemen, our law enforcement officers, our first responders, if you will, come on up here. That's good. Greg, you want to kind of help them up here? Thank you. And if you will, when you walk out, just to the left, you'll see a booth set up there, and it's got some coffee mugs. We've got a little gift for you today, a coffee mug that just simply says, from the First Colony Church of Christ, we're praying for you, and we mean that. And there's a scripture that says, you be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And so we salute you and thank you for your service to us. And a very, very good anniversary, Walter and Joyce Caskey are celebrating, get this now, 50 years of marriage. I think that's fantastic. And we wanted to applaud you and salute you. Walter?
Joyce.
Claude Joyce? Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, that's, listen, you're not telling us anything, so, you know. How about a kiss? Not for me. There you go. That's good. Yeah. They're wonderful. We love you. We love you guys. Hey, love all of you. Have a wonderful week as you serve Jesus. You are dismissed.